it's just amazing how everything begins with God and ends with God. You know what I mean? We go through this life and we may be going through so many different things in our life, but it all begins with God and ends with God. But Jesus, and I think about Jesus, who is a lover of my soul, and I think about him and how wonderful and awesome and amazing he is. And I think about when everyone else is gone, when everyone else has done their thing or have gone their way, the one who remains is Jesus. Amen? When this life is over, I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen? When I'm walking on this earth, when everyone disappears and leaves their own way, the one who sticks close to me is going to be Jesus. Amen? My closest friend. Amen? But being that Jesus is my all in all, sometimes as a believer, I fail to do what God wants me to do. I fail to walk in the ways in which he has called me to. And the title of this morning's sermon fits well with that. And it's the title of the sermon is, Help Me Be Who I Ought to Be. Help me be who I ought to be. And I'm talking to, who am I talking to this morning? I'm talking to Christians. Amen? Help me to be who I ought to be. Every day we wake up. Amen? We have a choice. We have a choice to live and walk in righteousness and holiness, or to live and walk as one who is separated from God. The battle is continuous and constant throughout our lives. Amen? Yet God gives us the power to walk in his way by way of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's what we've been talking about for these past few weeks, is the Holy Spirit. But we have the power to walk in God's ways through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It is important to note that although we have the Holy Spirit living within us, we sometimes willfully ignore or suppress and even quench the Holy Spirit of God. In doing so, we turn and walk as one who is separated from God, or act as though we never knew God. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, there are times and instances, even just for a few seconds, or even for the length of a song taking me back in the day, or I see something that triggers something in my mind, and all of a sudden, my mind is not in the mode of Jesus Christ, it's in something else. Something that is contrary to the ways of God. Yet this is nothing new, amen? Nothing new. The Apostle Paul observed this kind of behavior during his third missionary journey, approximately around 52 to 57 AD, there to Ephesus. However, what we're going to be looking at today is the book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, he wrote that around 62 AD from prison. So you see, Paul had spent some time with people, teaching them and training them in the ways of the Lord. And then he addresses them as time had gone on and as people had started to live the Christian life and had come across a few bumps in the road, amen, that we all come across. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24. And if you could please stand for the reading of God's word. The word of God says, So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with the regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace, Lord God. Father, speak. Your servants are listening, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, much like Paul's time back in history, we are still having the same issues when it comes to living the Christian life. Amen? We struggle with who we ought to be in Christ. It's a constant struggle. It's a daily battle. It's something that we must set our minds to. Amen? It seems as though we waver in our faith. And I know I do, speaking of myself. I mean, there are times, like I said, there are instances, there are situations that I've gone through, and sometimes I didn't handle them in the right way, you see. It is as though I find myself going backwards rather than forward. But isn't that not the way of sanctification in this life? 1 minute we're high on Jesus. You know, 1 minute we're high on Jesus. I'm reading my word every day. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I have a smile on my face, and it is as though life cannot faze me. You bring it, and I'm going to give it to Jesus. I'm going to cast it, and I'm going to put it on him, and I'm going to walk in his way, and I'm going to do his will. I'm going to do all these things. Amen? That's like that sanctification. When we get saved, we become on fire for God. We're moving forward. You know, I'm cleaning my house. I'm cleansing it. I'm getting rid of every impurity in there. I'm cleaning my mind and my heart and my brain, and God is helping me to do this, to get rid of all these things that ought not be there. Amen? But then sometimes I find myself in an instant going backwards to who I used to be. Has anybody ever cut you off on the road? Has anyone ever in some way had a slight microaggression towards you, the way they treated you? Has someone stepped on your toes? Paul says we must no longer live as the Gentiles do, meaning the way that we used to be. This is in verse 17. So we must no longer live as the Gentiles do in futility of their thinking. In other words, we must not live as we used to. Amen? We must not fall back into our old habits of reckless behavior, a behavior in which lie no morals or fear of God. Whew. It's a wicked place to be. We must not have an attitude that does not glorify God or give him thanks. For in doing so, we make God's creation our idols and gods. Amen. When we go backwards, all of a sudden, we aren't making God our God. We're making whatever consumes us to be our God, even ourselves. And Paul goes on to say in verse 18 through 19 that the Gentiles are darkened in their understanding and are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Brothers and sisters, a life that gratifies the flesh rather than God's leads to a life that becomes calloused towards God. It is a life lived without shame of doing wrong. Now, I don't know if you all have ever experienced this in your life, but I know I have in my life. At here, I'm walking godly. I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing. But sometimes if it becomes a routine, sometimes if it's just something that I just do rather than actually worshiping God and doing it with all my heart, it is, oh, I'm doing my Christian life with half-heartedness. I'm not doing it with the full heart. You see, we come here Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday and Fridays, and we do all these things, and sometimes we end up like this, you know? It's like, oh, I'm going to do that again. Oh, I'm going to do that again. And then sometimes in my own life, if you find yourself in that place where all of a sudden you become like desensitized, like calloused, where there's no longer like, oh, I'm going to go worship the Lord, or, oh, this word is so good, you know. And I shared in Bible study there sometimes, you know, when I do my devotion, I'll be reading the word of God and I'll be like, this is so good. This is so good. And I'll even kiss the Bible and I'll be like, Lord, you are so good. You are so good. This is so good. And then what does that lead to? If we're walking in the ways of God, we are building our relationship with God. We are fellowshipping with Him and doing His will. But when we are not, when we become complacent and we do acts of things that do not glorify God, and as we do them and have no conviction, we become calloused in our heart. Amen? It is as though it is like stone. And then it leads to no shame. No shame. But a life that is so consumed with self, it is a life that is nearly incapable of receiving the blessings of God. And you notice I said nearly incapable of receiving the blessings of God if we go so far off the deep end. It is a life of excessive indulgences in pleasure for self. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. Kind of give us a picture of this in the Bible. When you're there, say amen. Romans 1:24 through 28 cites such behavior by saying, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. And men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. That's pretty heavy, amen? That is like a person who knows God, but then they say, I never knew God. I don't want to walk in His ways. I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what feels good to me and for me. If it's money, bring it. If it's this or that, I'll do it. But brothers and sisters, we cannot flirt with sin. Amen? As believers of God, we cannot flirt with sin. What person could put hot coals in their lap and not be burned? You see? Flirting with sin hinders our Christian walk. When we do what is contrary to the Word of God, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen? We hurt ourselves and others in the process. We may then find ourselves in a downward spiral only to have difficulty repenting and forgiving ourselves and others, which makes it more difficult to come to church and live a peaceful Christian life. Amen? You know, you talk to some kids out there on the street, and they go out one night with their homeboys or with their homies. Someone pulls out a gun and shoots at someone. The next thing you know, all those kids are being charged for first-degree murder. You see? But I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to go to church tomorrow. Not when you're locked up. There may be a chaplain there to talk to you. But for those few seconds in our life, things can happen. Things can change. Amen? And when that happens, when we do something that is contrary to the ways of God and the way in which we know how to live as Christians and quench the Holy Spirit, the acts of what we do are difficult, amen? Because all of a sudden, I have a hard time coming back to God and saying, Lord, forgive me. I have a hard time forgiving someone who had done me wrong, you see? All those things become barriers to getting right and to having a peaceful life in Christ. Amen? It's dangerous. But that said, Paul goes on to say in verses 20 through 24 of our text, stating that, however, it is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Wow. Brothers and sisters, the fallen world, our various cultures, values, educational systems, philosophies, influences, and fleshly desires, and sin, we're all who we used to be. That's who we used to be. But when we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, we received him, Jesus. That was when he died for our sins, and that is when we died to our old self, amen. That was when we became a new creation. That was when all of God had come into our lives, meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? That was when we became disciples of Jesus Christ. As believers, we have been taught to take up our cross. Amen? And to put our hand to the plow, for no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. Brothers and sisters, this Christianity is no joke, amen? When we say that Jesus is Lord of my life, is he really Lord of your life? Is he really Lord in every area of your life? Do you love him with all your heart? Do you wake up and you pray to him? Do you go to sleep praying to him? Do you walk in your day and thinking, how can I apply what I've learned in Sunday school or through the sermon? How can I live this life? Or we read our Bible, how am I going to do that? Do we do it? Amen? Or do we look back? Do we, like a person, get on track and go to work like one who gets on a plow to farm his land. And they get on that plow, and they have these equally yoked oxen that are moving through and plowing through the field. The person who looks back and says, well, wait a minute, I'm just going to do maybe a couple of rows, and then I'm going to go back and have me a beer and, you know, just hang out. I tell you what, your family's not going to be eating. You're not going to have any food, amen? You see, and that's how it is with Christ. Christ tells us we don't need to look back. We don't need to go back to those things that we used to do, or the things that used to define who I used to be. Right? Because I'm a new creation. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to look back. I'm going to keep moving forward. Amen? Or at least try to. In other words, putting on the new self implies that we crucify ourselves daily. Amen? For the old self is ever present. That old nature is warring within us, which is why we must practice godliness, the way in which one trains as an athlete. And we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And I don't know if you just heard what I just said, but we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But hear this, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Amen. You see, God is the one who is doing the work, but we need to submit ourselves to him. Amen. We need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We must have a fear of the Lord that is in us. Amen. Not a fear that he is going to strike us dead, but a fear that God, the Almighty One, is living in us. And what I see, he is there. When I'm in the dark, he is there. What I speak, he is there. When I do acts that glorify him or not, he is there. You see? God is there. Amen? Brothers and sisters, we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 states, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. And as believers, we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Amen? Our bodies, what we do with them, what comes out of them, we need to be in line with God. Amen? We are also told to not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. You see, there's a change that needs to happen because we're new. Amen? I'm not old. Or am I getting old? No. But our goal is to be who we ought to be in Jesus. And that is to be like God. To be like God. Leviticus 11:44 says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. You see? Be holy because I am holy. That means, brothers and sisters, that we need to live a holy and righteous life. Amen. We need to wake up every day and make a conscious decision that I'm going to live my life for Christ. Amen. In conclusion, I ask, Lord, help us to be who we ought to be, which is to be like you. Help us. Lord, help us to be free from contaminating ourselves with who we used to be. You see? With who we used to be. Let us not be like a dog who returns back to his vomit. Have you ever seen that? Rather, give us the strength to live godly lives by offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. Amen. As believers, we have the Holy Spirit who helps us to make decisions that are pleasing to God. When we decide to follow Jesus totally and completely, now listen, if we decide, now who has to decide this? Me. Amen. When we decide to follow Jesus totally and completely, what happens? Our attitudes, our thoughts, our words, our desires, and actions will be changed. Amen. They will be changed. They will be changed. Will you let God change you? You see, God is not a puppeteer. He's not going to make you do something that you don't want to do. You have to do it out of your free will. Amen. Therefore, let us not live as a people who don't know God, but rather let us be worshipers and lovers of God, for in Him there is peace, goodness, comfort, and salvation. Amen. If you want to live a life, if you want to live this new life that God has given to us, you will have peace, even through storms. You will have goodness in your life where you will not have to look over your shoulder to be thinking, who's coming after me? A life of goodness. You will have comfort, comfort in knowing that God is with you at all times. And of course, salvation, that is eternal life. Amen. That begins here when we first receive Christ in our lives. We become Christ and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that is how God knows who we are, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. So whether we live or die, we are with Him forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Please have the counselors come up.